God is good. Saints, I feel him here this morning. I'm going to leave here positive. If you don't, that's your problem. But God is alive. God is here. The pastor's not, but God is. Amen.
Amen.
We don't need to feel down. We don't need to feel discouraged. God's going to take care of him. And we come to worship God this morning. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I'm going to preach this morning for a little bit this morning on a subject called The God Who Knows You Best Knows the Best for You. The God Who Knows You Best Knows the Best for You. Or another title might be, He Knows That He Knows He Knows Who You Are. Aren't you thankful that He knows with who you are? I'm so thankful for that today. Now, you're not going to get quiet on me this morning. Praise the Lord, because I just, you know, but you just need to shout amen. And I'm going to have to get my glasses to be able to read this morning. Praise the Lord. How many is glad to know that God knows who you are? Are you really glad that God knows who you are, or does it terrify you sometimes? God knows what life you live. God knows what you went through this last week. God knows the times where you felt discouraged. How many really are glad that God knows who you are? I'm thankful that God knows who I am through my difficulties, through my down times, through my up times, through my discouraging times. I'm thankful that God knows who I am. I'm going to be reading about 15 scriptures this morning, so we need to get into it. If you'd like, we're going to be reading out of Exodus chapter number 3 and read about 15 verses there. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midianite, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not thine hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is on holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a land which is large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said continually, I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto you, that I have sent you. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon the mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your father has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I call him, or what shall I say unto him? And God said unto Moses, Tell them that I am that I am. And he shall say, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am he that sent me. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. Listen close this morning. This is what you shall say, who I am. I am the Lord God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Has sent you unto this people. This is my name, and forever this is my memorial unto all generations. I want to preach this morning, like I said, on the God that knows who you know, who he knows that you are. He knows who you are. Moses had a moment back there in that time where he turned around and seen this burning bush, and I'm sure there's a lot of us that if we seen this bush burning, we would finally get a little frightened ourselves. But Moses had a moment with God. We all have our different kind of moments in our lives that we live in. It's the moment where you first fell in love. And I was thinking about this morning, you know, when we first find that one that we want to live, that we want to marry, you know, we do some of the stupidest things. We do things that we know there's no way in the world we're going to be able to do throughout our life. We're going to open their doors. We're going to pick them up late at night at work. We're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do everything else. We're going to tell them we love them 30 times a day. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But how many remember the moment, that strange feeling that makes your knees buckle underneath you, or the moment, the very moment that you seen that newborn child that you had been carrying for 9 months, and all of a sudden that love for that child begins to boil up. You've never seen it before, but you felt it going on and growing within your belly, that love for a child that you see for the very first time. Or how about that moment where you got that job that you had been praying for, and you ask, oh God, that you would help us get it, that feeling of accomplishment, and thinking everything's going to go well for me and my family because I finally got the job. That moment where you felt so great. Or how about the moment that you lost a loved one, or where you felt so empty, where you felt like grief was just going to overtake you. I'm telling you this morning, church, that we all have a moment in each and every one of our lives that changes everything. We all have a moment in our life that changes the way that we walk with God, or the way that we live, or the way that we think that everything's going to be all right. But what I want to say to you this morning is, what about the moment that we knew that God had finally come upon the scene? What about the moment that we knew that we was going to be okay? That we know that we begin to feel that feeling bubbling up inside of us. The moment where we know that God said, I am with you always. Or the moment that you come down to an old-fashioned altar and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm talking about a moment that will change your life forever. Because my Bible tells me that Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. And if you need a moment with me, if you need a burning bush experience with me, if you need to turn your eyes upon me, this is the day that you can have that moment and that time. The moment when we suddenly have a profound awareness that God is speaking to us. That is called a moment of truth. For Moses, it was the side of the burning bush, the place where Moses hears the voice of the living God. We can go on and read this just a little bit, but God explained to Moses. He said, Moses, I've seen the misery of my people. I've seen where they are called slaves. God had come down from heaven and talked to Moses and said, I am here to deliver you. I am here to deliver my people. I'm going to deliver you from the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and all of these other sites. I am God, and I know what they're going through. I understand the load that they're carrying. God had come down and told Moses, I've come to rescue you. Church, today, God knows who you are. God knows what you're going through. God knows the trials that you're carrying. God understands the sicknesses within your life. This God that I'm serving, he is a God that knows that he knows that he knows who you are. He knows that he's going to walk with you. He knows that he's going to talk with you. He knows he's going to live with you because he is God today. Moses was telling, oh, come on, somebody shout amen. Don't sit there and look. Somebody needs to praise the Lord. I'm talking about the God of the universe. I'm talking about the God that understands. I'm talking about a God that took time this morning to come down and dwell within this church and within this people. I'm talking about a God that is here to meet and supply your needs, and that should make you excited today. Moses was terrified. He told God, he said, God, I'm not capable of doing this. God, I'm not capable. But God reassured Moses that he would be with him. And at that point, Moses asked God his name. Church today, let me tell you, when you get to the place where you say, God, I can't carry this load any further. God, the burden is too hard for me to bear. God, who are you in my life today? God will look back and speak to your heart. And he said, I am who that I am. And this is who I am. I'm the Lord God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. And I've come down to bless you this morning. Church, today you don't need to leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. You may come bound, oppressed, tormented, sick, or lame, but you don't need to leave here like you came, because Jesus has come upon the scene. Jesus is here today to meet and supply your every need. For any of us, it could be an earth-shattering moment, or it could be a moment in the still of the night. I've woken up many times in the middle of the night, and it just seems like that there's a fear that comes over me. No reason, really. No reason. And I begin to think, I try to get by it, and I've told you this before. I've tried to get by it, but so many times that when that fear comes, if I just take the word of God and slip it under my pillow at night, it begins to give me a comfort. It begins to give me a satisfaction. It's kind of like the illustration that I used here before about the young lady that went to the pastor, her youth pastor, and he said, now, she said, Pastor, she said, my boyfriend is wanting to take me out for a date, and I don't want him any hanky-panky. I don't want him to do anything. I just want to have a good time. The youth pastor looked at her, and he said, all you got to do is take the word of God, and you set it between you, and he'll have a hard time getting over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Church, today we need to take the word of God. When the devil comes against us, we can take the word of God, because God said, I am the God. I am the Lord. I am the one that delivers you. I am the one that strengthens you. And there's not a devil in hell that can come against the word of God, because I am the one that I am. And that is going to be my name forever. Oh, church, raise your arms and thank him for that today. My God, we thank you for that today. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory today. Hallelujah. But it's that moment when the presence of God breaks through on us. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. This is what the Lord said. I heard the voice of the Lord saying unto me, who will send me, or who shall go for me? That is the time, as Moses spoke out, that we need to say, Lord, here am I. Lord, it may be difficult to overcome. Lord, it may be difficult for me to witness to that one. Lord, it may be difficult for me to claim the healing. Lord, it may be difficult for me to claim to get rid of the depression. It may be hard for me to get a hold of you for my friends and my loved ones and my family, God, that are not ready. But if we'll stand true to God and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, send me, help me to do a work that I can do. Lord, even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. And though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Lord, you are the lily of the valley. You are the bride of the morning star. You are the fairest of 10,000. And Lord, here am I, call me. The curious thing in our lives is that we never know when we're going to reach that point where that God's going to come upon our lives and suddenly call us out to do something. It is so easy to grow up in a Christian faith, and I've grown up in a pastor's home all my life. I've been a pastor's son, And, you know, they always say, and I'm not sure this is true, but they say Pastor Card kids are the worst. Pastor kids are the worst. I'm not sure I believe that or not. But you know what? I've grown up. And so so often, it was at a time where that I you know, Dad wouldn't let us to do this, that, or the other, or whatever. And so finally, as I grew older and as I got married and I began to have kids, I thought, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I did what Dad wanted me to do all these lives. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. I was one of the most miserable person on earth because I was doing something contrary to God's word. I wasn't walking like him. I wasn't praying like I was praying. I wasn't reading his word the way that I wasn't going to church the way that I was should have been going to church. But then all of a sudden I began to feel that drawing to come back. I had vowed before I ever come back to church that I would never go to another church where Dad was the pastor. Little did I know, amen. It's kind of like telling God what your plans are and he's going to laugh. You know what? You can't have your plans, but you need to have your plans with God. And if you're in line with him, if you'll get into, he'll draw you near. He'll bring you back into that ark of safety where that there's peace and there's love and there's joy and there's happiness and there's contentment in this God that we're serving in. But suddenly something happens. Suddenly something stops you in your track. An event takes place and you realize everything about Christianity is faith. It's shallow. It really doesn't mean any time. It's in that moment when we live. When life takes a sharpened turn. I've told you this before, and it's no hidden secret. About 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. It devastated my life. I thought, sure enough, this is it. I'm gone. Because, you know, they said that prostate cancer is one of the deadliest cancers that there is because it's just so slow and it comes upon you. But I was diagnosed with it. Doctors told me over and over and over again, you need to have surgery. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. We prayed. I had Dad pray. The church prayed. I prayed. Lori prayed. We all prayed that God would hear and answer our prayer. The last time I went back to the doctor, my PS labels was at the level of a 20-year-old person. He said, the cancer's gone. There's nothing there. You're completely well. Why is because of that? It's because of this God that come upon the scene. It's because of this God that heard my prayer. It was an earth-shattering moment for me, and it took a sharp turn, and it was this abrupt turning point that you have nowhere else to turn to but God. You have no one else you can depend upon but God. You have nobody one that cares and really understands but this God that I'm talking to you about today. It's not that you just want to know about him, but it's that you want to know him more deeply. You want to know him with all of your heart because he knows who you are. He understands you today. You are ready to abandon everything just for the sheer joy of knowing Jesus Christ, our Savior. This God has created all things, and he has called you by my name. The word said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, this is the God that wants you to call upon his name, and he's going to call upon your name. I asked you at the beginning when we was going back, I asked you to turn to your neighbor and shake their hand and tell them what your name was. Church, today I challenge you today before you leave this building or before you come back, that you just whisper a prayer. God, my name is Dennis. I want you to hear my prayer. My name, it is Leonard DeWitt. I want you to hear my prayer. My name is Darcy. My name is Donnie. My name is Stephanie. And I could go on and on and on. If you just take a few minutes and just say, God, my name is just this. And Lord, I need you to hear what my name is. And God, I need to call upon you today. He knows everything about us. There's no place to hide from God. He knows everything. You might think you're running from God, but he knows where you're at. He knows and he understands. This is the God of the universe, the God that created the stars and knows each and every one of them by name. Some of you may have had the experience of going out and camping underneath the stars. You see all the stars. You know that it's not possible for you to count them. All those countless stars, all those galaxies underneath those stars. You realize how the universe is so huge, how so unimaginable that it is. You stand there underneath those stars feeling so small, but then all of a sudden God whispers to speak his living word within your heart, and he said, I know that this may be huge, but I am small enough to live in your heart. I am one that cares. I am one that understands. Church, today I don't know what you're going through, but I know a God who does. You may think it terrifies me for God to know who that I am. You shouldn't be terrified. You should be rejoicing and being happy and rejoicing in God that he knows who you are. And you can call upon him day or night. I'm convinced that we are too easily distracted in the rush of this modern world that we live in. There are many choices. There are many distractions. There are demands of our time and our attention. Suddenly it seems like we only hear what we really want to hear. We do not take time to hear the voice of God. There was two men walking along a crowded street. Suddenly one of the men remarked, "Listen to the lovely sound of that cricket." But the other man could not hear the sound of the cricket at all because of the traffic going by and because of the things that were going around about him. And he asked his friend, he said, "How can you hear the sound of a cricket with the whir of the traffic and the sounds of the people?" The first man, who was a zoologist, had trained himself to hear the sounds of nature. He didn't explain to his friend how he could hear the sound cricket. Instead, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a half a dollar coin and dropped it on the sidewalk and watched intently as a dozen people began to run for that coin. As they heard the clanking and the noise of the traffic and the sounds of the city, the young man looked to his friend and he said, "We hear what we want to hear." Church, today, are you there today? Are you hearing what God is speaking to your heart? Are you understanding the cares that you can give unto God? It doesn't matter what it is, but as long as you keep it inside you, that's where it's going to stay. But get it out. Give it to Jesus. That's why we sang this morning, call him up, tell him what you want, because this God that I'm serving knows who you are. Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord, the Creator thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." And the last part of that verse said, "I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Fear not. This is God speaking to each and every one of our hearts today. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by thy name. Thou art mine. He knows and he understands. It is that moment in the life of Nathanael when Jesus described him as a true Israelite in whom there was nothing but fallout. Nathanael looked back at him and he said, "How do you know this?" It is that moment in the life of the young rich lad when he went to Jesus and he said, "What do I need to do?" And Jesus said, "You got to go sell everything and follow me." It was that moment in the life of the Samaritan woman at the well when Jesus revealed to her astonishment that she has had five husbands. How did he know this? It was in that moment in the life of Matthew, the tax collector, when Jesus said unto him and told him, he said, "Follow me." And we read where he got up and followed him. It's that moment in the life of Nicodemus who comes to Jesus at night and Jesus tells him that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. It is in that moment of life of Judas, sitting with Jesus and the disciples in the upper room, where Jesus turned to Judas and said, "This day you're going to betray me." It is that moment that we cannot hide from God, because he knows everything. You cannot escape God knowing what's going on within your life. This is a moment, as I said before, and time is quickly getting away. It's a terrifying moment. It's an unsettling, but yet it can be a reassuring moment. It's a terrifying moment because you realize that you can no longer pretend, and you can no longer play church, and you can no longer live with the illusion that somehow something you might do might impress God. He knows every secret. He knows what goes behind closed doors. He knows what goes on in your daily life. He knows what's going on. It can be a terrifying thing to know that every secret, every thought, every word you have spoken, and everything you have done, this could be dreadfully uncomfortable. You have that sudden awareness that it's no longer possible to live that illusion. Yet, for some unexplained reason, it's also reassuring. If God knows everything about us, listen to me today. If God knows everything about me, and he is still willing to call me his child, that is gratifying. To know that I am his, to know that I am his. You know, God knows you, so quit pretending. And try to get that burning bush moment. Try to get that point where you say, "Lord, you know my faults and you know my quirks and you know my peculiarities. Lord, you know everything there is." And get back to him and sing this song. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many afflictions and many a doubts, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lord of God, I come." As we try to wrap this up, I just always seem to have never enough time to get through it. But let me close this day. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, he said, "Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden," and what? "He'll give us rest." "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John chapter 6 and verse number 45 says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God, everyone who has heard and learned for the Father comes to me." Ever having a moment like that? Ever felt, have a moment where you just feel like, "Lord, I just need you more than I've ever needed you before"? Psalms chapter 16 and verse number 11 says, "You make known me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." What a comforting thought that it is to know. We sing the song again today. As we come into that door, we come into his presence with thanksgiving in our heart. And give him praise and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voices raised. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him glory today, because he is Jesus. Why do we do that? It's back there on the backboard. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." If you're here today and you need something from God, He is here. One more scripture I'm going to leave with you this morning is Psalms 37 and 7, and it says this: rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Church, today God knows your cares. God knows you, understands your heartaches and your pain. He knows you by name today. He knows who you are. He knows. I preached a message one time on what is your name. And there's a lot of people that we can give their first name and you know who they are. If I said Elvis, you know who Elvis is. If I said Celine, you know who she is today. And I could go on and on and on about first names. But do you know when you call upon Jesus what that name can do? What that power can do? What that authority, you know, today, at the name of Jesus, every devil in hell is afraid and it trembles because of the powerful name of Jesus. And we can call upon that name because He knows us.